I'm glad that song is not just a wish of ours, but it can be true to us. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. I'm thankful he will do that. Sometimes it may not be exactly the same way as we would like for it to be, what we would think is the best way. But that song number 111 says, God's way is best, if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. What I'd like to share with you this afternoon that I've been thinking about is a title, Glory to His Name, giving glory to God with our life. And I would like to start, I thought of this morning, I would like to start with a picture of a man that did not give glory to God in Acts, the 12th chapter, and in the 21st verse. This is Herod. It says, on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and he made an oration to them. The people gave a shout, saying, it's the voice of a god and not a man. You know what happens when people get recognition? You can feel pretty good about that. He did. Said, it's the voice of a god and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. Now, you know, we don't see that happening much today in our world. But I think of that, and it's a picture to me of how God would like to be able to get glory from the things that happen to us. This song came to me this morning. I had to have somebody try to help find it for me. A verse of it says, it's so good to hear the words, congratulations. You know, for a job that we have done well, we just kind of feel pretty good about when we get those words, somebody giving us some affirmation. You've done a great job. It says, it's so good to know that at last success is mine. But as I stand here in the midst of all this honor, there's a precious face that's smiling on my mind. When in our own, maybe it's not even people talking to us. Have you ever had it just... you can be by yourself and give yourself some affirmation. You did a good job. You're doing great. Get to feeling pretty good about it. This one says, there's something else that happens though. It says, all the praises should be given to my Jesus, because he's the one who helped me up.
Yes.
You know, we need to remember that.
Yes.
He's the one that helped me up when I was down all the way. You know, because we can have times where we forget about the times when we were down all the way. When we're getting congratulated and it seems success is mine today. You know how fast you can go from a mountaintop to a valley and you need him again. I think it's really important for us to remember this chorus. All the praises should be given to my Jesus, because he's the one who helped me up when I was down all the way. All the praises should be given to my Savior. He's the one who has made me what I am today. And you know what? He's the one that's going to help us. If I get help out in the future, it's going to be because it came from him. There's a verse that I always want to remember. When Paul was on Mars Hill and he was trying to give the people a picture of God, he said, in him we live and move and have our being.
Yes.
You know how much positive affirmation we're going to give ourselves on good jobs when we think about that? My next breath is going to come because God allows me to have it. I'm dependent on him all the time. So I would like for us to start with looking at this title, Glory to His Name. I'd like for us to look at song number 465. And maybe even if we'll sing the first and last verse of 465. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied.
Glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Then we sing another song. A piece of that verse says, all glory and honor to Jesus, who offered his life on the cross to open a fountain for sinners and purchase a world that was lost. You know, all glory for what the Lord has done for us in salvation. When I look down at the cross where my Savior died, there needs to be glory that goes back to his name. Because, you know, we'll find some examples where it's easy after we become a Christian and we're walking along that we, if we're not careful, we can feel like we're able to do some things on our own. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. You know, we're living in a religious world today that says, I believe in Christ, and yet it doesn't make a lot of change in their life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. Old things are going to pass away, and behold, all things are going to become new. Sister Lorinda, you had given us a song in the past, and this is just a little piece of it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That song was, I no longer walk the way I used to walk. I know. Could you sing that part? I no longer talk the way I used to.
Lord, take away your sin and strife. Since that day, I'm not the same. Praise God, there's been a change. I no longer walk the way I used to walk. I no longer talk the way I used to talk. He changed my life completely. I'm happy now to say, praise God, there's been a change.
If any man be in Christ, he'll be a new creature. There's going to be a change. So what I have to ask is, that change that has come into my life, does it bring glory to God in the events of my life every day? Or is there a way that I can adjust some things to where more glory is given to the Lord? And I'd like to look over to a place where Jesus was talking to him in Matthew 6, where he's telling them, be real careful, even in 6 and 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father. Says, when you do your alms, don't sound a trumpet. I was reading a commentary on that and said there was a practice back then that when the wealthy people would have money that they want to give to the poor, they would go out on a busy street and they would actually sound a horn. That horn was to tell poor people, come to me, I have something for you. And Jesus is telling them, uh-uh, don't do that. If you're going to toot the horn, you're not going to get any reward for having done it other than just what they would give you. So he was talking to them about that. You remember the story of, this is in Luke 12 and 16. We read it so often and we just end with the way the story was. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he starts talking to himself. Well, in this sixth chapter of Matthew, where Jesus has given us some instruction, he gives us some instruction about how we should pray, what we should be praying for. What if this man had done different in his life in this 12th chapter? The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he prayed and asked the Lord to give him direction for what he should do for it. You know, we do read of a time where when a man's heart was set on his wealth, the Lord told him to go sell everything that he had and get rid of it. But you know what? When a person's heart is not set on their wealth, I don't think the Lord's going to be saying that. I think what the Lord will be saying is, it's all right to take some and invest it to make more out in the future. It's all right to take some and help the poor with it. Give some distribution. Do we find some scriptures in the Bible that give us instruction about that? I was looking at a verse over for us even today in Galatians in the 6th chapter. Six and ten. As we have opportunity, when there is an opportunity comes to us, you know, whenever my desire is, Lord, I want my life to bring glory to you. You think he's going to put some opportunities in my life for that to happen? I think he would. This one says, so when those opportunities arise, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. So as I say, Lord, I would like for my life to bring more glory to your name. I think this is an area that it would do it. And say, Lord, if you see a place, no, I'm not supposed to sound a horn to tell people what I'm doing, but Lord, if you see a place that quietly I could go help somebody that's in need, it'll bring glory to the Lord's name. As we have opportunity, especially to those of the household of faith. There is another verse in Matthew, the 10th chapter. You know, the Lord has blessed us so much in the past. 10th chapter, and in the 8th verse, the latter part of the 8th verse, freely ye have received, freely give. You know, the Lord has blessed, and I'm not talking about just temporal blessings, but he has blessed us so much with salvation, glory to his name. And for me to be able, freely I've received, now freely give. There's one more verse that goes with that. Over in 2 Corinthians, want to bring glory to his name, so here's one that can do it. 9 and 7. Look at the 6th verse. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, this verse does not have to have a dollar sign hooked to it. This is only talking about get your billfold out and give. You know, sometimes time is harder for us to come by than money is. To be able to give someone a little bit of our time that needs a little bit of encouragement. And this one isn't saying, okay, the preacher's telling us, now you get out this next week, everybody come back next Sunday and prove that you have done 30 minutes of time for helping somebody. How does it start? You know, we're not policemen. It starts out, as a man purposeth in his heart. And you know what I'm finding is, as I tell the Lord, Lord, I would like for my life to bring more glory to your name. Then I find myself moving away from the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and all I am is just consumed about myself. But Lord, how can I be a help to someone else? Let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Did the ground of that certain rich man bring glory to God? How did that one end? Thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. Then whose shall these things be? You know, if that money all went to his children, if he had some, if they had not learned to give out of their abundance, it wouldn't be a blessing even then. But you know what? There are examples in the Bible of people who quietly gave.
Yes.
There's one here that I was reading about in Acts, the 9th chapter. In fact, it doesn't say anything about her sounding a horn. Acts 9 and 36. We don't hear anything about what all she did until after she died. Now there was at Joppa, 9 and 36 of Acts, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full. Now how would you like to have this title given to you without sounding a horn? This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And it goes on down after Peter comes there in the 39th verse. When he was come, they brought him in the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. You know, that's kind of an amazing story. Probably nobody else knew that she had made something for somebody else until they all came together. And now they're just showing, here's what she did. Don't see anything about her advertising what she did. I want to tell y'all, don't sound a trumpet when we give. But you know what? There is some instruction for us. In Matthew 5 and 16, it tells us, let your light so shine before men so they may see your good works. Now, you know, if that verse ended right there, there would be a risk to us. I'm interested in this Bible. This scripture even tells me, make sure they see your good works. What's the purpose for it? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know, that means that those works were done in a way that they thought more of it about God than they did about the person. Somehow it was portrayed to them to where they saw the love of God in it. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works. You know what? I believe it's good for us to have a desire like Dorcas. I don't know that it was even a desire of Dorcas. It's just what came out of her heart. Every man that purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And again, I don't think this is all about money. This is about me just being alert. Lord, I would like today to bring glory to your name. You know, that may come just from me learning to keep my mouth shut. That might bring glory to his name. Sometimes we think, well, it's got to be some big thing today. I'd like to bring glory to his name. Probably sometimes glory to his name is brought when I will be quiet, when something feels like I feel like I got to say this. So I was thinking about over in Revelations, because when we look at who we are trying to bring glory to, Revelations 4 and 10 says they worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So these have all come before God. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you know, so they must have some kind of position. Maybe they had done some good works, some good things. But instead, what they're doing before him is casting their crowns before him, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. So I think part of this glory to his name comes from me recognizing the price that he paid for me to be able to have salvation. We sing a song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Then there's another verse says, not the labor of my hands. You know what? There's nothing I can do with my hands that can buy me salvation, that can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal? No respite. No. I've got a zeal and it just doesn't stop. I'm wanting to do good. Could my tears forever flow? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. When I want to bring glory to his name, it's because I see what all he did for me. And Lord, I'd like to bring glory to your name. Another song that we sing, I was a captive. You know, none of these songs bring any glory to the person himself. What it does, it points everything back to Christ. I was a captive. We sang this morning. But mercy released me. I was in darkness, but now I can see. Does that give any credit to myself? No, it doesn't. It goes all back to glory to his name. Over the mountain where lonely I wandered, Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me. What does it say? There's nothing in this about how I've been able to do good. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior. Now and forever, my boasting shall be. Over the mountains where lonely I wandered, Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me. It is very important that through my life, God gets the glory for what I do. Because I read the story over in, and we've looked at this many times maybe in the past, but in Luke, the 18th chapter, you know, I would like for God to get glory when I pray to him. 18 and 10, it says, two men went to pray. One was a Pharisee, one was a publican, and one prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. So what our desire is today to learn how to bring glory to God's name. You know, somehow we'll have to decipher this enough to realize that at the end of this prayer, God said it was the other man that went down just. Jesus said it was the other man that went down justified instead of this one. So what I'd like to do is pick up on something from this, because really what is wrong with saying, God, I thank you. I see these other people, and I'll tell you right now, we're in a time where we can see other people and the sinful lives they're living. And it'd be real easy, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like they are. There must have been some attitude of heart that caught him right there. Because I think it's good for us to say, Lord, I want to tell you thanks that you saved me. I could be that way myself today. I'm thankful that you saved me. I believe he would get glory from that. But this one says, other men are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. You know, how well did he know that publican? Maybe just because of who he was, he had a label put on him. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. You know what we want to have is at the end of the day, I need the Lord to accept my prayer. And I think what I desire is that it would, my life, the things I say to the Lord would bring glory to him. There is a verse in Ephesians. Sometimes we need to be reminded, what is it that saves us? Ephesians 2 and 8, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So sometimes we can take a verse by itself and say, okay, this verse tells us works are not important. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, it's not very often that we read the 10th verse along with that. The 10th verse says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So when Christ moves in and he's living in me, then we can expect some good works to follow. But those works are because Christ lives in me, not instead of him living in me. There's another verse over in Titus. Titus in the second chapter. I'm sorry, Titus 3 and 6. You know, about the time we look at others around us and see how wicked they're living, and we measure ourselves among ourselves, which it says are not wise, I think maybe this will help us that glory can be brought to God. Third verse says, we ourselves were sometimes foolish. You know, there were some things about my life that did not bring glory to God in the past myself. But look at what caused it to bring glory to him. Fourth verse, after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This didn't come about by some righteousness that I did. All glory goes to God. We read the story in Mark 10 and 46 about blind Bartimaeus. And we hear about when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming by, he started calling out. You know what? I believe Jesus would have walked right on by if Bartimaeus had not had a part that he played. Remember, he started calling out. And when the people around him tried to stop him, said he just, it's like just turn the volume up. He must be getting closer trying to stop him. And Jesus says, what would you have me to do to you, do for you?
Yes.
I listen sometimes to, we used to, when our children were small, we would have story hour stories. And someone did this one about blind Bartimaeus. And what they said was that when he was healed and he started for the house, he could see now. And as he's going along, he's telling people about what God did for him. And his very first testimony was, there was a man named Jesus. He just healed me. And you know what? All glory was going to Jesus. But in this story, and it had a very good lesson, I think, for me. In this story, it says, as he was going along telling people, his story started shifting a little bit. You know, you can't shift it that Jesus didn't heal you. But what is how it started shifting was, I want to tell you what I did that caused this to happen. It would not have happened if I had not cried out. Now, we don't read this anywhere in the Bible, so it was just someone trying to give us a lesson. If I had not cried out, and I tell you what, he probably, if I had not cried out louder, and we started hearing things more about what I did to cause this to happen. And then it was almost by the time he's getting closer to his house, it's about Jesus, he's in control of Christ. And I tell you, after I had done all these things, he said, what would you that I should do? You know what? The glory that was to go to Christ, to God, was just almost completely annulled. He wasn't saying he didn't heal me. You can't say that. But you know, we can shift it even in our minds, and I'm wondering, there may be more of a lesson to that story than what I realize. Bringing glory to God has to take the shift away from myself. And no matter how it is, there, it's true. Bartimaeus had a part to play in it. You know what is true? There was a part for us to play to be saved. We would never be saved if we had not done our part. But I want to always remember that my part was so small compared to the part that he played, and that I want to bring glory to his name. For me to be able to do that, he still got some part he's got to play in my life. You remember this morning in the Sunday school class, we were hearing about how God wants to make adjustments to us throughout our life. It's not just the day that we're saved. And so he can come to us at different times in our life to help us to be able to make some adjustments. There is a verse, and if someone, there's a song that I'd like for us to sing together. If someone could go under lyrics and find this one, Jesus keep me near the cross, that we could sing before we close. But there is a verse over in Psalms 115. This needs to be my desire. Psalms 115, and starting in the first verse. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Now that's quite a little verse right there. Lord, I don't want the glory to come to me. I want the glory to go to you. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? You know, that happens sometimes today. When things happen that maybe someone is not healed, maybe they die, those that are not saved look on it and say, where is their God? But this one says, we're convinced our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You know, things that bring glory to God, we don't always see them to be pleasant things in our life. But sometimes those are the very things that bring glory. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And there are, before we sing that song, there are a couple other verses. Want to be able to have glory to the Lord in my life. And one of those places is 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And in the 19th verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So let me realize, you know what? I'm bought with a price. I want to glorify God in my body and in my spirit. And then there's another verse, 1 Corinthians, that comes down closer to home. 10 and 31. Whatsoever ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, that covers every part of my life. And I have to say, Lord, I want to bring glory to your name. And then I can think of, okay, I probably need to go visit someone or do something to help someone. And maybe bringing glory to his name is in these areas. Dan, remember, you're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do we have that song? Fanny Crosby wrote it. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain.
Yeah.
If we could sing that one together. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed his beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. In the
cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river.
So one verse of this says, near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. What does that mean? I don't get very far from the cross and the price that he paid for me, because that's how I'm going to be able to bring glory to his name. It's only because of the grace that he gives us. What does it say? Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound, and it'll never be because I can do it on my own. It's because it brings glory to him, and it comes from him. May we ever stay near the cross. I desire your prayers.